Welcome back to Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. Sea level is rising globally due to ocean warming and melting ice sheets, but the rate of sea level rise is not the same everywhere. Here in New England, we've had an above average rate of sea level rise, but also a lot of variation in water levels along our coasts. And for several years, researchers have thought that might be tied to changes in the strength of the Gulf Stream. But new research suggests that it's not the Gulf Stream. It's, in fact, local weather that is driving those changes in our local sea level. And that could lead to local sea level forecasts. Joining me now is Chris Pikusch. He's at Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution. Chris, welcome back to the show.
Nice to be here, Heather.
Let's kind of go back to the very beginning of this. Why would we potentially expect the Gulf Stream and this whole system of currents to slow down with climate change? I mean, that's an idea that's been around and been debated for a long time. What's at the root of that?
That's right. So the basic idea going back, as you say, a pretty long time is the idea that as climate change occurs into the future, as the climate gets warmer, the ocean's going to warm. The surface ocean will warm more. That warming of the surface ocean actually in principle is thought to prohibit these processes that happen at high northern latitudes, specifically the formation of deep, dense waters, which sustain what some people call the ocean conveyor belt or the overturning circulation. So the idea is that with global warming, that whole circuit of currents will slow down. And the Gulf Stream, of course, is one component of that larger overturning cell of circulation.
So the Gulf Stream then is kind of the top, you mentioned the conveyor belt, it's kind of the top belt on the conveyor belt.
That's right. So you have these currents near the ocean surface, which act collectively to bring warmer waters north. And at the same time, you have these currents that are well below the surface that are bringing colder waters south. So you have this circuit that's being completed.
And you said, so if the water up north gets too warm, then that conveyor belt kind of backs up, it slows down. Why would that then be thought to influence sea level along the East Coast?
Well, that's the great question. So again, our oceans are filled with these very powerful currents that are transporting vast amounts of water and heat around. So the idea is if you were to change or slow under a climate change scenario, change or slow these currents, the manner in which these currents are moving water and heat around would change. Okay, and the idea is that with these changes in how water is, if you will, directed in the ocean, that could lead to, if you want to say it a bit crudely, water piling up at our coast. But again, this has been more of a hypothesis, sort of a question we as a community have been interested in because we think that it is a possibility, but something we've been trying to learn more and more about.
Well, Chris Pikusch, that part of figuring out more about it and figuring out if these processes are actually happening has been the subject of a lot of effort and also a fair bit of debate. I mean, where does that stand? Are we seeing the Gulf Stream and this whole conveyor belt system slowing down?
Depends on who you ask. It's a really complicated question. And part of the problem here is that on the one hand, a lot of the behavior that we've been discussing is based on analyses of these climate models. So they're models that we run into the future under these hypothetical scenarios of so much global warming, say. But what we like to do as scientists is to take those models but corroborate them, test them against observations. And the real difficulty here is that we just don't have very long direct measurements of these major limbs of the ocean circulation, which makes it hard to test those model-based hypotheses.
Right. It's hard to know if the Gulf Stream is slowing down if we don't know what it was doing 30 or 50 or 100 years ago.
Exactly. So that's a big question in the community. And as you just say, we don't have long direct measurements that we really desire.
But we do have one recent event that got a lot of people's attention, and that was, I believe it was 2009.
That's right.
And for that year specifically, the Gulf Stream seemed to be a lot slower and sea level along the Northeast coast seemed to be a lot higher. What happened that year?
That's right. Yeah. So to put all this in context, as I said, we have lacked these long-term measurements in the community. But motivated by that, starting in about 2004, international scientists got together and developed this large network of sensors, which cover the whole Atlantic at a particular latitude, at 26 north. So this is spanning from about the southeast coast of Florida near Miami, going all the way across the Atlantic to the Moroccan coast.
Wow.
And this set of sensors has been continuously monitoring this overturning cell we've been talking about. And you're exactly right. About 5 years after those measurements started, there was this really surprising, very striking decline of about 30%, the whole overturning circulation. Yeah, exactly, right? It's a bit startling. People got pretty worried about it. And at the exact same time, based on coastal tidal gauge measurements, we saw sea level up and down the New England coast raise by, in some months, up to 6 inches.
Well, Chris Pikusch, some of your new work that you've just published is aimed at looking at that event and explaining what the relationship might be because, of course, okay, these two things happened at the same time. The question then is, did one of them cause the other? Did that dramatic slowdown in the current system cause the higher sea level? And it wasn't just tide gauges that saw it. I mean, people saw flooding. It was something we could see with our own eyes that year that water levels were higher. So how do you actually start to answer that question of whether one caused the other?
As one of my colleagues is fond of saying, sea level is a noisy place. We've been talking a lot about how changes in ocean currents may or may not affect sea level. But of course, ocean current changes aren't the only game in town. We've got, of course, tides and waves and storms, melting ice sheets, ocean warming, all kinds of things that are going on in our climate system now that all potentially contribute to changes in sea level at the coast. So you're right. So we see these simultaneous events, weakening of the circulation, a rise in coastal sea level. So how do we go about investigating, testing whether or not this really was a cause and effect, whether the decline in the ocean circulation actually caused sea level to rise? Well, this is where we bring in sort of the theories of physics and what we know as oceanographers about how the ocean behaves. One thing that's really important to understanding sea level change on our coast here in New England is what the local weather is doing. If you have changes in how the winds are blowing, whether you have high or low atmospheric pressure in a given month or season or year, those things are really, really important to driving sea level changes.
Okay, I'm going to stop you there for a second because that seems completely unintuitive, at least to me. I mean, I think of sea level as being this much larger process that the weather's just kind of sitting on top of that, and it might make waves. It might even make a storm surge, but it would change sea level?
Locally, at least. You're right. So you hit on an important distinction, which is we hear a lot in the news about global sea level rise. And in the context of global sea level rise, you hear about things like the melting of the Greenland or the Antarctic ice sheet. Similarly, you hear a lot about global ocean warming, because when you warm water, you're going to expand it. So those are things that are of concern when you're talking about the global average. But the global average, while it's informative for us scientists, it's not necessarily directly relevant to people living in a particular place on the coast, because sea level, again, the same colleague is sort of fond of saying all sea level is local. Okay, so this
just like politics.
There
right?
It is, right? So the sea level change that we feel, say, here in Woods Hole is not necessarily going to reflect what's happening on the global average, because these things like winds and pressure act to not change the global average, but move around the water that's already present in the ocean, so that, for instance, you could have sea levels rising in one place at the same time that they fall elsewhere.
So jumping ahead, Chris Pikusch, what your most recent work is showing, not to steal your punchline here, is that, in fact, it was not the slowdown in the current system that caused the higher sea level along the Northeast coast in 2009, that, in fact, it was these local weather conditions affecting both.
That's
right.
So this is the really interesting thing that we found in our recent research. Again, remember the context. We found correlation. The current weakened at the same time that sea level rose. But if we can think back to the winter of 2009-2010, I certainly remember it because I was doing a lot of shoveling. It was a pretty severe winter that we had. And it turns out that these local weather conditions that we experienced along the Northeast coast, say a pretty harsh, snowy winter, we as New Englanders didn't feel those wacky conditions in isolation. It turned out that conditions were very unusual across the whole North Atlantic region, not only along the northeast coast of the U.S., but also in Europe and elsewhere. So in that particular winter, you had very large-scale changes in weather systems. Hmm. So you have this current decline in the overturning circulation. You have a rise in sea level over our region of the coast, but there were also unusual sea level changes in places like the Mediterranean Sea, along the North Sea, even places far north like Hudson Bay, all these very unusual behaviors all happening at the same time. Okay, and these are, again, all related to large-scale variations in the basic weather patterns.
How can you be sure of that, though? I mean, it's not like you're running an experiment in the lab and say, okay, if I change the current, then the weather changes and the sea level rise changes, or if I change the weather, the currents change. I mean, how can you actually be sure what's the cause and what's the effect?
That's right. That's a great question. So we as earth scientists, as oceanographers, are a little bit at a disadvantage. I mean, when people think of science and hypothesis testing, they think of exactly what you described. You're in a lab, you perform several experiments, you have some control parameters and all of this, so you're able to tease out causation. We've only got one Earth, and we can't really run experiments on it. But what we can do is run simulated experiments. We can run virtual experiments based on the laws of physics. This is where models come in. So in our study, when we tried to understand whether or not this change in the overturning circulation, remember this 30% drop in 2009, 2010, whether that was actually the cause of the sea level rise we saw at the same time, we actually ran some model experiments. And through those model experiments, we said, okay, we know we had a pretty harsh winter in 2009, 2010. The winds behaved in such a way, the atmospheric pressure behaved in such a way. Based on our understanding of physics, what effect should that have had on sea levels at the coast? And sure enough, when you ask the model equations, how does sea level behave when you apply a wind like this or a pressure like this? Turns out that you get that sea level rise. So this is making no reference to what happened to ocean currents over the open Atlantic. This is saying just meteorology locally along the New England coast, that was able to explain the sea level rise during that particular winter.
Well, Chris Pikusch, this is interesting at an academic level to understand how all these processes interact with each other. But when the rubber hits the road, what planners and, for that matter, homeowners really need to know is how high is the water going to get? And we've typically had these very long-range predictions of, you know, as you were saying, global average or maybe even kind of a regionally adjusted average that we might see 1 or 3 or 6 feet of sea level rise by a certain, you know, number of decades in advance. How does understanding how these really local weather processes affect sea level from year to year impact efforts to plan for sea level rise?
That's a great question. So the way that our research fits into the broader picture is that it emphasizes that we've got to consider everything collectively. As you said, there is a considerable effort in the scientific community to understand things like future ocean warming, melting of the Antarctic ice sheet to project these long range, say 100 year down the road sea levels. And that's really, really important. If we predict that sea level will rise so fast into the future due to melting ice sheets and ocean warming, how helpful is that long-term prediction for me having a sense maybe next year or 5 years from now of guessing how high the sea levels will be? Even if we're having a long-term rise, maybe we have a really, really bad winter and the seas on top of that long-term rise are 6 inches higher than we thought they would have been.
Right. A bad situation gets even worse.
There it is. Or on the other hand, you could have a mild winter, you know, where the winds and the pressure are favorable such that even though you have this long-term rise, at least for this short season, the conditions were partly ameliorated by the conditions locally being somewhat more favorable. So it adds a range on top of that long-term prediction. And the real challenge of the community is really bringing together everything. As I said before, sea level is really complicated because there's so many things that are going on in our climate system that cause changes. All this adds together to give you, you know, what sea level conditions we're feeling here at Woods Hole or any other locality along the coast. So you really have to have a comprehensive picture of all of these processes so that we can inform not only 100 years into the future, but also next season or next year.
I mean, it sounds like you could use this information to essentially create sea level forecasts in the same way that we have weather forecasts or even seasonal outlooks.
That's exactly. And that really is one of the outstanding goals of the oceanography and the sea level community, having these predictions or these projections that are not only 50 or 100 years out, but, you know, next month, next year.
That's Chris Pikusch of Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution. Chris, thanks.
My pleasure.
And that's our show. Until next week, I'm Heather Goldstone. Thanks for listening.
Living Lab Radio is produced by WCAI in Woods Hole and WGBH Radio in Boston. It's produced by me, Elsa Partan, and Heather Goldstone is executive producer. Funding for Living Lab Radio comes from the Candida Fund, investing in transformative leaders and ideas. Theme music by Stellwagen Symphonette.